group that that supports that and backs that up. In this case, obviously, for Fernando, that was important, and it seemed like that motivated him, and we were able to come to the agreement.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All right. Hey there. Greetings to you. It is a Tuesday. It is the 23rd day of February for 2021. I am Darren Smith, and you are listening to Extra 1360. That is the name of the radio station. It also happens to be where this radio show is originating today. That's right. We are back in studio, at least for one afternoon, up until 3 p.m. You can listen to us here all day on AM 1360. You can find us at 103.3 FM. You can find us on HD Radio at 101.5 FM. Channel number 2, that is KGB2 HD Radio, a real living thing that you can find and locate and listen to us on. The iHeartRadio app allows you to take us with you wherever you might be going. You can listen to us wherever and whenever and however. You can search around for hundreds and through hundreds of different podcasts. You can find different music stations. We do all sorts of fun stuff over there on the iHeartRadio app, so do download it today if you haven't already. Did I mention it is a free app as well? Free iHeartRadio app. SportsSD.com, our website, which is being inundated with all sorts of new content and new press conferences via Zoom each and every day. SportsSD.com and your smart speakers like Siri and Alexa, they can start streaming the show as well. It is great to see Jim Russell today. It's great to see John Schaefer today. It is great to see Ben Fletcher today. It is great to see a very, very limited staff. Marilyn Hyder from over on News Radio 600 KOGO. Shout out to Marilyn. Great to see, as I have arrived here today for just the second time since March 20th of 2020. We are doing the show from inside of the studios. At least yours truly is here for the next couple of hours. It's a long story. It's a boring story. You wouldn't care. You'd lose interest halfway through. So why even bother? Why even bother? But a little bit of work being done around the house today. And with an HOA board meeting coming up later and a KOGO show that needs to be recorded, it just made more sense for me to leave equipment where it was, come in here on my own, do the show for the next couple of hours, say hello to Jim Russell. I would say that I would make my appearance,
this
that I would
Jim.
Say hello to people here around the radio station, except there's one issue. There's nobody here. You know, it's just literally Jim and Ben and John and Marilyn, and that's about it. That's about it. Yeah, you can find... Oh, I'm sorry. There's Brian Main also. So you can find parking right in front or right in back, close to the door, wherever it is that you want to go. I don't know what everybody else's workplace situation is like, but that's the way it is here at iHeartMedia. So good to see you, Jim Russell. How are you?
Everybody saw that you were in studio today, so now everyone's coming in to say hi.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's very nice. Very kind. Everybody meaning like the half a dozen people that
right.
are here
the four
today.
People that still work here. Yeah,
the four people that are still working here. Everybody else choosing to continue to work from home. And that would include Marty Caswell. Now, we're going to give this a real shot today because I had the equipment at home and I didn't want to move it and didn't want to schlep it all the way to Pacific Beach or Crown Point and then schlep it all the way home because, as mentioned, we have... got some things going on later on tonight, so yeah, we have to put the KOGO show 100% on tape, and it didn't make a ton of sense. So we are going to connect with Marty Caswell via Zoom. I don't know that this has been done before, but we're going to give it a shot. We're going to see how it goes, and Marty Caswell coming to us live from the 92109. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
Frazzled?
It's okay.
Frazzled?
It sounds all right. Could sound better. Could sound better. But it's
wow.
Okay. I think it'll be okay for the next couple of hours. I think we can live
okay.
with this, Jim. What do you think? You're the technical director of the show today.
Look, last
time. Number one, you sound great.
I said last time we tried this, we couldn't even hear what she was saying. So this is a major, major improvement from last time. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like the worst thing in the world.
Right. Now, had it been both of us via Zoom for 3 hours, maybe you would have pulled that hair out of your head, that new hair right there out of your head.
I would have banged my head against the wall over here. And yes, the hair that's on my head now, the new ones, it'd have been gone.
Yeah, I hear you. That would have been a complete waste of time and energy. So yeah, I think we can make this work over the next couple of hours. Again, the biggest issue that we'll have is that Marty and I are used to nonverbal communication because usually we're in the same room at the same time. So it's not very often that we're not in the same place. And you know, that'll be a little bit of an adjustment. So bear with us here because we're probably going to talk all over one another today. Although that appears to be mostly par for the course on this show. It's just three clucking chickens here who are hens, as the case may be, yep, in Marty's situation, that we just sort of cluck and cluck, and it becomes like that Fox pregame show, that Fox NFL pregame show, where Terry and Howie and everybody, they just yammer on and on and on and on and talk over one another.
Who's Howie?
Howie Long?
No, who's Howie on the show?
Oh, Howie on the show? Marty.
Who's Terry?
You definitely.
I'm Terry?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely you on that front. So good. Good. Good to be here. Good to be back in the studio. Good to drive past the old stadium on my way in here, which, as I've said before, the handful of times that I've driven past the stadium formerly known as the Murph, formerly known as Qualcomm Stadium, formerly known as SDCCU Stadium, that it is something to see. I know that you can see people, if you're on the 15 freeway heading either north or south, you definitely notice people who are looking to the west just to see what that looks like as they're driving past on that 15 freeway. There's got to be only, about 8 sections still remaining and the scoreboard on the eastern side of the stadium. And that's it. You know, that is it. When it will be complete, when it will officially be all done and it will be down and completely leveled, I'm not quite sure. I know there was a San Diego State press conference a little while ago in which the new Aztec Stadium, some of the details were provided via SDSU, but I don't know when exactly the final piece of concrete will come tumbling down there in Mission Valley. But man, it is something to behold. I can't imagine it's going to be too much longer. So if for whatever reason these pictures and these drone shots and these images, that you know, they don't quite capture the perspective of what that looks like, I would say you don't have much longer if you want to see it with your own couple of eyes, even if it's just driving by on the 15 north-south or heading off on 8 east-west, whatever that situation might be. So good to see that and good to be back here. Unfortunately, there is some news today as we're just getting with you, and we're just gonna stick with what the facts are in this case, because you know I think that's the responsible thing to do. This is not a time for us to opine necessarily. But Tiger Woods, as Jim mentioned at the top of the hour, has been hospitalized after a vehicle rollover crash in Los Angeles, somewhere in LA County today. Tiger Woods was injured Tuesday, single car crash near LA, according to the LA County Sheriff's Department. Emergency personnel responded to a rollover crash at 7:12 a.m. this morning, extricated Tiger Woods from the vehicle using the jaws of life. He was taken to a hospital for his injuries, his condition unknown as of this time. Woods' car sustained major damage in the crash, according to the Sheriff's Department. His agent has issued a statement. Let me scroll up so that I can find that for you here, because I'd rather let the agent speak in this situation than have me yammer on. I will say that there are images of the car, and they're showing them on cable news. I was just in the newsroom for Kogo, and they had an image of the car, and they did suggest that the car had, for one reason or another, who knows, had crossed from one side of the roadway, through a median, through the other side, rolled up to an embankment, rolled over. The car obviously is not in great shape. Tiger Woods' agent has confirmed that he was in a wreck this morning, and that he's in surgery. He's being described as serious to critical with multiple leg injuries. So that is what's being said about Tiger Woods as of this morning by his agent now, So sometimes this reporting comes out and you got to be careful. And if you're in the position that we're in where you have to disseminate some of this news as it becomes available, doesn't mean that it's going to be inaccurate. You just, you know, you have a responsibility here to pass along the information that it is factually correct. But Tiger's agent is saying that he's in surgery with multiple leg injuries. So obviously terrible, terrible news for Tiger. Hopefully, we'll, you know, I don't know what his golfing future is. There had been some questions about whether he would be healthy enough to play at Augusta National coming up next month or the next couple of months. I don't know that that is or isn't out of the question. It would certainly seem unlikely today just based on the images of the vehicle and based on the statements that are being issued from his agent himself. So again, I don't know that we know that, but, that is leg injuries in surgery following a crash in Los Angeles from this morning. Again, by the looks of the car, He, you could certainly argue that Tiger is that anybody would be lucky if he were able to survive a wreck like this. Single car accident this morning in Los Angeles, where he suffered multiple leg injuries, as his agent Mark Steinberg, currently in surgery. We thank you for your privacy and support. Good luck with that.
If anybody uses the jaws of life, like freed him from the jaws of life, you know it was pretty bad. And the you see the car, it's just like to say that he survived that. I mean, that's just that's great news, I feel like. And there's not any reports out saying his life's in critical danger. It's just that his legs are injured and he's in surgery for that. So hopefully, knock on wood, you know, with all the reports that we see right now, that his life isn't in danger. Like that's good news, right? Like
yeah.
He's going to hopefully make a full recovery.
Yeah, hopefully full recovery. And what full recovery means necessarily isn't just getting back out there on the golf course. It's right. Just yeah, that he's able to go ahead and be a dad. You know, that he's able to go ahead and live his life and, you know, do the things that normal people do, you know, whether it's playing golf competitively again and competing for majors, you know, at that point, probably the furthest thing from anybody's mind. But anyway, that news to pass along today. I'm sure there will be updates throughout the span of the afternoon. I'm sure you will have plenty of people. And I could tell you that at least earlier, as I was just scrolling through the newsroom over there on Kogo, this is what was on CNN and this was what was on cable news today. So taking a break from some of the other stuff to focus in on this car wreck, this one car wreck in Los Angeles a bit earlier today. So on the show, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, Jared Diamond will join us. Jared Diamond, there's going to be a lot of baseball. We're still going to be basking in the afterglow of what was a great day yesterday for the Padres organization in the city of San Diego. So we're still going to spend a ton of time on that. And why wouldn't we? It's not every day that you have that happen. It's almost like never that happens. And it's not just here. It's pretty much anywhere. What a day yesterday. You know, listen, that doesn't happen in most places. And it certainly doesn't happen here. You know, usually if you have a day like yesterday, more times than not, the Padres have been on the opposite side of that. They've been on the White Sox side of that. They've been on the, oh my goodness, I can't believe that we traded that guy away side of that. And that's sort of the way things have gone here, it feels like, throughout history, dating back to 1969, that the Padres have had players that they then traded away that then went on to achieve greatness in other places or go ahead and win titles in other places. And they never quite materialized the way that they materialized in other cities. That was different from yesterday. That was a lot different. It was a different feeling. It was a great day just in terms of the emotions of it. It was hard to believe. It was a bit surreal watching A.J. Preller and watching Fernando Tatis Jr. So we will continue that, speaking with Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to warn everybody out there now, if you're sensitive to this sort of stuff, we might sneak in a question or two about the big league advance contract that he signed. I know some of you out there feel like this is distasteful subject matter. I don't necessarily agree. You can't reap all the rewards of having a ton of attention and then not deal with the other side of it. And this just sort of comes with the territory here. I don't think anybody's going out of their way to shame Fernando Tatis Jr. because he entered into one of these arrangements with this company. I don't know that I can't speak for everybody who was on a Zoom call yesterday. But as I rethought about it, and went back over it in my mind, I don't know that those questions were so far out of bounds that anybody should feel offended on behalf of Fernando Tatis Jr. I can remember three different questions about it. One was just a general statement, which he said, hey, family decision. Okay. Next question, what did that money do? How did it work for you? Didn't really want to get into that. I think the question specifically was whether or not he used it to help build a field so that he could train and do some other stuff, which helped get him where he was. He didn't go far down that road. And then the third, which I thought was the best question, was, would you recommend this company? Would you recommend this for anybody else who might be in your position, who's 17, 18 years old and contemplating or considering a big league career? So I didn't think that it was all that pushy or intrusive, or I didn't think it was any violation. That's the way I saw it. Others have seen it differently. But we might. There might be a question about that to Jared Diamond coming up, because he wrote specifically about that arrangement last week when news of the deal first broke. So, you know, I don't. It's not going to be the center
piece of our conversation. It's not going to be the focus of our conversation, but I just want to warn anybody out there who's sensitive on this subject. You know, that's it's you know, you want the bright light, you want the attention, and this is what comes with it sometimes. People are curious about such things. I didn't think anything was below the belt. I didn't think like anything violated any sort of sacred ground here with Fernando Tatis Jr. or the Padres. But you know, others might see it differently, and that's fine. You know, that's what makes the world go round. So we'll spend time talking with Jared Diamond about baseball, about the contract, talking about where the Padres and baseball itself, and might even dip a little bit into what happened in Seattle yesterday because we didn't spend a ton of time talking about it. And I didn't think that there would be an interest in or a local angle or an angle to take on this former Seattle Mariners CEO, what's his name, Kevin Mather, who is a former CEO of the Seattle Mariners. And I hadn't really thought about it this way, you know, that as for as boring as I consider Major League Baseball CBA talk, oh boy, CBA talk. Oh man, who's ready for some CBA talk? Who can't get geeked up for a radio show talking about the Players Association versus owners and billionaires and millionaires squabbling about how to split an enormous chunk of money? Who can't get excited for that kind of conversation? I mean, what's wrong with you if that doesn't do it for you? But, you know, it was pointed out, and I think that this is interesting, that some of the stuff that this guy said at a Rotary Club, people still speak of the Rotary Club. How about that?
I don't even know what a Rotary Club is.
Yeah, it's
like a flower thing.
Say what now?
It's like a flower thing, or am I completely off?
Flower?
Rotary? I have no idea.
Marty, what's a Rotary Club?
It's like a bunch of people that get together for breakfast and they talk about community.
Yeah, they solve the issues, right? Like they solve the problems of the world. It's a community-oriented thing where a bunch of people sit around and in theory what they're doing is they're raising a couple of bucks for charity, for local communities, mm-hmm. et cetera. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's a bunch of dudes who, I think that there's the stated goal and then I think that there's the unstated goal, which is people like hanging around and having a couple of cocktails and getting out of the house for a couple of hours. Right?
Yes, and they always arrange like a couple of like celebrity guest speakers. Like it might be a baseball player or it might be Darren Smith. They have people that are people in the media, celebrities, they have them talk about whatever.
Yeah, I didn't speak at a Rotary Club, but I got invited to speak to something called, what was that called? The Old Boys or something like that.
Right.
Did you speak up there too?
No, there's never been a woman that spoke, right? And I think they told you to recruit me and I didn't want to do it because I'm a little bit nervous and I'm sure they tell funny, funny jokes, but no. Oh, I haven't spoken. But you've done it like twice, right?
Did it once.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And yeah, what they usually do. I've been told Steve Fisher has gone and done that and let's see. What is a Rotary Club?
It doesn't have to do with flowers.
It's an international service organization whose stated purpose is to bring together businesses and professional leaders in order to provide humanitarian service and to advance goodwill and peace around the world. It's a non-political, non-religious organization open to all. That's what a Rotary Club is. It's like a Lions Club, right? What's the difference between a Rotary Club and a Lions Club? Anybody know? But at any rate, you know, I often think that the what's not said about these kind of gatherings is, just, you know, you get together once a month and everybody has a couple drinks. That's pretty much, that's the way I see it. Maybe I'm a little bit off. But anyhow, the former CEO, and I say former CEO because he got fired after he spoke at the Rotary Club. Wherever it was, somewhere up there in Washington, I would presume. But I didn't realize that perhaps the former CEO of the Mariners now would be used as evidence against ownership moving forward here in CBA talk, because he talked about limiting service time for players. He said he didn't want to pay interpreters. He talked about how they were going to squeeze these free agents into submission this year because the owners lost billions and billions of dollars because of COVID. And these free agents who were out there, they were going to be on their knees begging for a job if they were ever going to get back into baseball again. And pretty much what happened now is this all is going to be used as evidence against the owners by the Players Association for things that the Players Association considers to be wrong with the game. On the opposite side of all of that is what the Padres did, where you don't have manipulation of service time, where you have players who are signed in free agency, where you have players who are extended for 14 years, etc. So it was a little bit of a balanced day yesterday for ownership. You had the greatness of ownership here locally with Peter Seidler, and then you had the CEO, who does represent ownership, speaking at a Rotary Club, and who knows what sort of condition he's in, where he's openly mocking interpreters and saying that they shouldn't have to pay them the money that they should have to pay them. And he's openly talking about manipulating service time and keeping star players down an extra couple of weeks so that they can get an extra year of service out of them, et cetera. And it's everything wrong. So you had a little bit of everything yesterday. You know, much, much more was made of the things that were good for the sport, especially here locally, which is the job that the Padres have done with Fernando Tatis Jr. and the job that the Padres have done here in structuring this team. And then you had the opposite side of that, which mostly went, at least from where I sit, it mostly went unnoticed. But perhaps there will be some repercussions from that when we get to CBA talk. Who knows when that is? Probably sometime at the end of the season. But yeah, yesterday was a real, it was a feel-good day. It really was. It was just a feel-good day because, as Marty can tell you, because Marty's been around here longer than anybody, you know, days like that just don't happen around here very often. And yeah, they usually, if they were to happen, they happen someplace else. But days like that don't often happen around here. So, you know, usually, right, Marty, the Padres would be the White Sox in this conversation. They wouldn't be the Padres. But yesterday was a real turnabout. Yesterday was a real role reversal for this team.
No question. And I'll tell you this, like after the show was over, I went back and watched the entirety of Peter Seidler's press conference and Eric Grubner, because it was like a 45-minute press conference. And I did some editing, and I genuinely believe this, Jared, and you're right. And you know, I love my press conferences, and I've seen like probably thousands in my lifetime. That was one of the best press conferences I've ever listen to coming from Peter. I know how impressive AJ Preller was and Tatis, and they hit all the right notes talking about San Diego and just, you know, what was left after the team, after the NFL team left, and how much, you know, just a sense of community. But I thought what Peter Seidler had to say yesterday about people don't talk about the risk of taking no risk and how he wants to go ahead and they want to go ahead and create the fans for the next generation. Like, I was so lucky how I grew up because it didn't matter if the Padres were good or bad. Tony Gwynn was always a reason to go to the ballpark. It just was. I mean, if you love baseball, man, Tony Gwynn was well worth the price of admission, regardless of the outcome. You haven't had that for so many years. And you just think about the number of people, of four-year-olds. I mean, Peter Seidler gave that example. Like, you have four-year-olds right now who will be watching Tatis for their lifetimes. And when they're, and think about it, his contract will be over. They're going to be 18 years old and they're going to tell their kids about Tatis and they're going to raise their kids to be Padre fans. It's just such an investment. It's not just about winning this year or next year. It's about creating the next generation of Padre fans. And I think that is such an important point because you had a decade of what is there to root for in this city? Like, what player do you want to go ahead and attach yourself to? And why do you want to go ahead and invest financially and emotionally? And Peter says, you know what, for the next 14 years, every single game, Padre fans can go knowing they have a very special talent to go ahead and watch. And that matters.
Yep, it was a huge point of emphasis even before we got to the press conference yesterday. It was about the impact on, and I know that this is a cliche about kids, but you know that really was, as much as they were convincing and you know they were very, very clever in how they presented this to Fernando Tatis Jr. talking about the statue contract. But internally, they were talking a lot about what this would mean for a whole other generation of Padre fans who are too young even to realize what's going on right now with Fernando Tatis Jr. So no doubt about it. We'll hear that coming up a little later when we return. Jared Diamond covers Major League Baseball for the Wall Street Journal. We'll speak with Jared, talk a little bit about what happened yesterday here in San Diego, also in Seattle. That's coming up next. All right, with you on Extra 1360, here from the studio this afternoon for just the second time since March 20th of 2020. I'm Darren Smith with you up until 3 o'clock in the Loose Cannons. Let's say hello to Jared Diamond. If I'm reading correctly, Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal, who's an author. He wrote a book about baseball, about swinging a baseball bat called Swing Kings. Is also going to be teaching at Manhattan College, a place I know rather well. Jared Diamond joining us on Extra 1360. Hello, Jared. Darren Smith, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you.
Are you you're going back? Do I have this right here? Are you going back into the classroom as a professor?
That is true. Not till the fall. Not till fall semester, but it is happening. So if you know anyone at Manhattan College, you get them to take my class.
Okay. Well, Manhattan College is in Riverside, right? In the Bronx, New York?
Correct.
Yes, I used to hang around there. There's a pool hall right under the subway there that I used to frequent when I was a younger person, a very, very younger person, Jared Diamond. So I don't know if that still does or doesn't exist, but I'll be sure to send everybody your direction. My grandmother actually is a graduate of Manhattan College, so I'm happy to hear that news. Good for you. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So on one side of the scale, we have what happened in Peoria, Arizona yesterday with the Padres extending Fernando Tatis Jr. And on the other side, we have what was going on with the Seattle Mariners former CEO Ken Mather. Which weighed more yesterday? You know, was it all the good that came from Peoria, the extension of Fernando Tatis Jr., or was it some of the unsavory stuff on the other side of the scale from the Mariners CEO?
Look, unfortunately, the story of yesterday in baseball was the Mariners. It was just crazy, that whole story. I still, two days later now, I'm still just completely shocked over the fact that this is a thing that actually happened. Over the course of 45 minutes, this guy who was the Mariners CEO somehow had an absolutely horrible take on every single topic that came up. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And at some point you think, all right, it can't get worse than this. And then all of a sudden another topic comes up and somehow it does. It was really bad. And it was really bad for the league because they're gearing up for this CBA negotiation with the union. Tension is extremely high right now. And they were hoping maybe to try to ease a little bit of that, to try to start the process of smoothing things over. And this guy, Kevin Mather, just throws a match on the whole thing and lights an entire new fire. And if you've heard player comments around the league yesterday and today, you kind of already know this is not going away anytime soon.
So what would you think, though, would be the repercussions from this? I mean, the ripple effects from this, how far out do they extend? I mean, is this anything more than a story about the Seattle Mariners? And to your point, we understand that the Players Association will certainly try to win in the court of public opinion by using this CEO's words against all 30 ownership groups. But how far does that go? How far does that go, Jared? I mean, what sort of impact can that reasonably have?
Look, the reason why the union pounced the way it did was because it already believed all of these things were happening, specifically the issue of service time manipulation, which came up multiple times during Mr. Mather's sort of disastrous speech with the Rotary Club. They've already made that a top priority in bargaining because the union truly believes that service time manipulation is commonplace. We know about the grievance with Chris Bryant, which he lost. I think any reasonable person understands that service time manipulation is a thing that happens. It's not even, whether or not it actually violates the CBA, it's sort of up for conversation. It's certainly nebulous, and you could certainly argue it's at least a bad faith tactic. And now you have the CEO of a team saying, oh, yeah, it's not a thing that might happen. It's a thing we're doing right now to our best prospect. And there's, if he's able to sort of say that or willing to say that publicly, there's no way other teams aren't privately saying the same thing. So the union's going to pounce on that and say, hey, this isn't just our paranoia. The CEO of a team said this is a thing that happened. So we have to address it in negotiations.
And that's why I said on the flip side of this, Jared, is what went on in Peoria yesterday and how the Padres handled Fernando Tatis Jr., because this came up during the Zoom press conference, and Fernando Tatis Jr. was specifically asked, with his willingness to go down this road with the Padres so soon into his career, just 143 big league games, how much of this was trust and how much of that trust was earned on the fact that the Padres, in fact, didn't do this. That's why I think it's so interesting that we have these completely contrasting directions from two different organizations that happen to share the same exact spring training facility.
Yeah. And look, the Padres are getting rewarded for how they've handled Fernando Tatis throughout his professional career thus far. And I think what teams have to sort of understand that they're not is that there are sort of long-term repercussions for the decisions you make by trying to sort of save a little bit of money here. You could be costing yourself way more money down the line, but it just seems like increasingly teams don't see it that way. And their goal every single day is how can we save just a little bit today? and we'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll try to save a little bit tomorrow then. And clearly, what the Mariners are now doing, what happened with Kevin Mather, you have to imagine is going to impact their ability to create a good work environment for their top prospects. On the other side, like you mentioned, the Padres sort of put up or shut up. They made it clear to Fernando Tatis with their actions that we're serious. And we're going to show that with how we treat you. We're going to show you that with how much we're going to pay you. And the result of that was Fernando Tatis probably playing for the Padres for his entire career.
Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal joining us on Extra 1360. You wrote, there were a couple of pieces written about Big League Advance last week. Yours, Jared, not just saying this because you're on the show, yours I thought was the most comprehensive, and it's certainly the one that we recommended to our listeners to read as well. What sort of reaction did you get? Fernando was asked a couple of questions about this yesterday and sort of brushed it off. He made it clear he didn't really want to talk about it, you know, even though the question was structured in different ways. What sort of feedback did you get when you wrote the story that you wrote about Fernando Tatis Jr. and his relationship with Big League Advance?
Yeah, now I have to go back. I was not on that press conference yesterday. I wanted to be, but the Mariners thing sort of took my attention. Now I want to go back and hear actually what he said about it. I was curious if anyone asked him about this. Look, the reaction was, you know, it wasn't completely one-sided. I would say a majority, but not a huge majority of feedback I got by email and Twitter and other places was sort of negative about Big League Advance, calling it, believing it was predatory, believing that, you know, it tricks young players into signing away rights, signing away their money, that this is a shows how poorly minor league players are treated. But there are also people, even maybe more than I maybe anticipated, who said, you know, this is essentially the version of insurance, and there's a place for companies like this. And if I'm being totally honest, I do think sort of under the current system, there is a place for companies like Big League Advance. I sort of could understand conceptually where it might sort of find a little niche in the industry. But the thing that I keep going back to is that companies like Big League Advance and all the other ones, Big League Advance is not the only company that sort of swims in this pool. None of them would need to exist if minor leaguers were just paid a little bit better. And I'm not saying they have to be paid $1 million. If these guys were paid something more resembling just a decent living wage, it doesn't have to be a high living wage, just a decent full year salary that any sort of 22-year-old out of college could make, they probably wouldn't need to go take these payouts from Big League Advance. But when you're paying minor leaguers $8,000 for an entire season, yeah, they're going to be impoverished. These are people that are already sort of desperate in some cases. So if MLB and the MLBPA wants to get serious about cracking down on this, forget about cracking down the company. Just go pay your minor leaguers so that they don't feel like they need to do this at all.
Why does the Players Association advise minor leaguers not to get involved with companies like this?
Because of situations like Fernando Tatis Jr., where now Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to have to pay, we don't know how much, but let's say around $30 million of his contract to this company, and he probably received, you know, $1 million, $2 million. I don't know how much he received. I'm just speculating, but nowhere near the 30, obviously, he's going to pay. And the MLBPA goal is to sort of make sure that as much money as possible ends up in the pockets of major league players. But the limitation here is that the MLBPA does not represent minor league players. And therefore, while they could advise sort of nebulously not to get involved with this, they're not actually looking out at this point directly for the interests of minor league players. And this has just been the reality of the MLBPA for its entire existence. I don't know how that problem gets solved, whether it's a MILB union or whatever it is, or maybe the MLBPA needs to step up and say maybe there's a way we could look out for minor leaguers more than we are. Because clearly, this isn't something that everyone doesn't know. It's a problem how little these people are paid, how they're treated, and companies like Big League Advance sort of are popping up as a result of that.
Hey, Jared, last thing for me and, you know, sitting and paying a ton of attention to, you know, different, very specific groups who are eligible to get vaccinated here in this country. We haven't yet landed on Major League Baseball players, not yet. At some point, though, you know, that specific group will. And you know, we hear different numbers about what percentage of military and what percentage of teachers. And you know, it seems a little low across the board. What are we hearing about Major League Baseball players and potential vaccinations at some point somewhere down the road here? And is this an idea that they generally gravitate towards, against, or too soon to tell?
It's a great question. Look, there's definitely going to be, I think, a population of Major League Baseball players that are not going to want to be vaccinated. I don't think, based on sort of the people I've talked to about this, that it's going to be in the numbers that we may see in the NFL and the NBA, where by all accounts there's a large, a really large portion in those leagues of players that say they don't want to get vaccinated. You know, I think that some of these conversations are a bit premature because they're not actually available to players yet. And if you sort of look around the country, as the vaccine has become available to people, a lot fewer people suddenly are saying they won't get it. If you remember back a few months ago before there was a vaccine, there were these polls that said, what, 50, 60, 70% of Americans didn't want to get it or would wait. And now suddenly that number is significantly smaller as the vaccine actually becomes available. So I want to be optimistic that baseball players and all athletes and all people will get it. And you know, maybe I'm being naive, but I actually do think at the end of the day, more players will get it than maybe sort of these early polls suggest.
Right, especially because, as you suggest, it's going to be further down the road, more information, unless something goes dramatically wrong, then you know it would probably feel a little bit more, you know, secure. People would feel more comfortable doing it. So hopefully that is the case. Jared, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That is Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal stopping by here this afternoon. When we come back, our best bets for the day, brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel. That's next on
Loose Cannon's coming up today, starting at 3. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s deal has now been inked. Will they one day make a statue for him? And also, I came, I saw, I conquered Meat Mountain. More on that at 3 on Extra 1360 at 103.3 FM.
Tune in to Extra 1360 Monday, 6 p.m. for SoCal Hockey Talk. You can get an inside look at your San Diego goals with play-by-play voice Andy Zilch. You can catch SoCal Hockey Talk every Monday, 6 p.m. right here on Extra 1360. Let's talk puck Monday nights, 6 o'clock on Extra 1360. Let's get to our best bets of the day that are brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel.
Best bets brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite.
Going to go first. My best bet of the day, having heard Jim at the bottom of the hour telling us that, in fact, the Mountain West Conference is going to make San Diego State play against UNLV. You're going to have a cranky coach tonight on the Coach's Show. That's tonight?
Wednesday night.
Oh, well, we're going to have a cranky coach tomorrow here on Extra 1360.
The crankiest.
He's going to be a cranky coach. Now, maybe by then, some of the sting will have worn off, but it was made quite clear that San Diego State does not want to play against UNLV. They don't want to play a regular season game against UNLV, and now the league is going to force them into this situation. So we're going to have Cranky Pants Brian Dutcher on the show tomorrow, and then you'll have Cranky Pants Brian Dutcher on the Coach's Show tomorrow night, and we'll have a Cranky Pants Off coming up on Thursday's show just to see who got the crankier Brian Dutcher, because I wouldn't want to play that game either. And that's why these coaches were trying to schedule other games, so they didn't have to go and play UNLV. They didn't have to play other teams at the bottom of the rankings and the bottom of the standings in the Mountain West. So they are forcing them into this. It's not what anybody wants, but that's the way the league sees it, and the league has television obligations. So, as always, money talks, and you know the rest of that line. Jim, what do you got?
What shirt am I wearing right here, Darren?
Jim, you are wearing a San Francisco Warriors shirt. You are wearing a Klay Thompson shirt.
It's a Warriors shirt.
It's a Warriors shirt. I thought it said,
It's like a throwback, a little bit of throwback there.
Yeah, a little jersey.
Yeah. Who do the Warriors play tonight?
I don't know. I know who the Knicks play tonight. I know they got fans in the stands at the Garden tonight, which is super exciting.
Well, they play the Knicks.
In the Garden.
Revenge game.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Because the Knicks, they pretty much ended the Warriors season a couple of weeks back. You know there are going to be fans in the Garden tonight?
I know. First time in all year.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So tonight, best bet, revenge game. Okay. It's over for you.
All right. Good. Good. I like that. Shame on me for not realizing that. That's an in-house wager here.
Yeah.
Amongst this show. I'll have to come back tomorrow and make a burrito bet out of it. I should have brought you a burrito anyway. I owed you one from the NFL picks.
I'll get it like in a year.
Probably. Maybe Thursday or Friday. Maybe. Marty, what do you got? Best bet of the day.
Darren, real quick, I will agree with you on Brian Dutcher being cranky because I was listening in today on his 10:30 Zoom when he was asked about the possibility of playing a game that just makes no sense for them. And he made it very clear he did not like the idea. It's too much of a risk, especially with COVID. There's no benefit. And then he didn't know what was going to happen. And then what do you know? 5 minutes later, after the Zoom is over, this game against UNLV is announced. So I agree with you. He will be cranky. On the coach's show and on the Darren Smith show tomorrow. My best bet, though, is that our 1 o'clock guest is going to be giddy, as happy as you've ever heard him, because it seems to be some good news coming for parents and schools and kids, like by April.
All right. Well, our 1 o'clock guest is Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief and CEO from Voice of San Diego, who we will talk to coming up just past the top of the hour. Those are your best bets of the day. They are brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel. Best bets, sign up for the Players Club and receive over $100 in free instant offers to enjoy at San Diego's favorite casino. For more information on this amazing offer, simply visit valleyviewcasino.com today. When we come back, Scott Lewis, who Marty predicts will be on the opposite side of the spectrum from Brian Dutcher. No cranky pants Brian Dutcher. Happy pants Scott Lewis when we come back on Extra.